Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, May 8th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210-WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Almquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Tony Bruno coming up live from Florida at 8:30 this morning. Dawn, hello, how are you?
Hello, happy hump day.
Happy hump day indeed. Gregory.
May the 8th be with you. Is that... No, that's not a thing, right?
No.
No. No. Sorry.
That was the 4th. That was over the weekend.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you. Cinco de Mayo. It's all history.
May the 8th be with you anyway.
Yeah. Thank you. Indeed. And may the 22%...
Uh-oh.
...be with Nikki Haley. in the Indiana presidential primary that nobody was... paying attention
nobody
to.
Nobody knew happened.
But it might matter. It might mean something.
Was this an open primary?
It's funny you say that. Per vote411.org,
yeah.
This is a partially open primary.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, I've got the deets.
That's like non-binary.
Yes. it's in a transition, Dawn.
Transition.
It says, per vote411.org, this allows voters to cross party lines. However, they must first publicly declare their ballot choice. Whatever the hell that means. But that's Indiana. And she got 21.7% of the vote.
I just have to say, open primaries, closed primaries, partially open, partially closed. It's still the same... theme, guys. I'm just telling you. We love to point out all of Biden's weaknesses and where he's losing here, losing there, losing here, losing there. I'm telling you, there's a glaring thing right here that nobody wants to talk about.
It's typically four out of every five go Trump, but one out of five, or roughly 20%, go Nikki.
Yeah.
This is obviously Mike Pence's home state. Is this partially a Pence protest vote?
I don't know. First of all, it's, you know, Trump is going to win Indiana. Like, there's no... This is not a... You know what I mean? Like there are...
Yeah.
He will win Indiana.
Yeah. 447,000 votes for Trump. 124 and change for old Nikki.
I mean, she got 155,000 votes here. You know what I mean?
Has she endorsed Trump yet?
No. She's not going to. She's waiting in the wings.
We got a lot of good stuff to get to this morning. Joe Biden's Holocaust Museum speech. Trump trial updates from Stormy Daniels to Mar-a-Lago and Judge Eileen Cannon. Did you read what's in Trump's toiletry bag, by the way?
No.
We'll go through Trump's toiletry bag later in the show.
I read that he likes to be spanked with magazines.
Yeah, ooh. Baby. Who doesn't?
Spanking machine.
One time back in 2003, I had pulled out a Hustler and... that's a different story for a different day.
I love now...
Thank you for not sharing.
By the way... I love now that porn stars are the virtue of truth.
Excuse me, she's a director.
Whatever. Yeah.
She's an adult entertainer, yeah. Gregory. Put some respect on her name.
She's been filled out like an application.
Oh!
Give me a break.
Holy crap!
Google shuts down a Trump endorsement ad attacking Joe Biden. We'll get to that censorship. And did you know Bernie Sanders is running for another term? 6 more years for Bernie?
It's ridiculous.
Can I get on top of the mountain right now and just shout with a megaphone, term limits?
By the way, Jeff on the YouTube chat says, hey, look, it's Nick Chicken Cheesesteak Kale.
Yeah, baby. If you want to eat that slop, go right ahead. I'll go beef, baby. I won't look back.
By the way, the media yesterday was just like wetting themselves over all of these quote unquote salacious details.
Oh, yes.
That, by the way, we knew half of them already. Like, it's just,
she wrote a book.
I know.
I mean, it was all in her book, except.
Did she write with crayons?
By the way, her.
She's not the sharpest cookie.
Her entire career, her entire life has been based on sleeping with Donald Trump, allegedly.
Yeah. Well.
Better than dancing on a pole?
Yeah. I don't know. Might have to reconsider my career choices. We'll get to the Boy Scouts, no longer a thing.
Oh, boy.
And we've got a great cut sheet. Tony Bruno is here and so much more. But let's get down to the news. We've had way too much fun in the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's be serious journalists here. And for that, we give you the serious journalist of the show, the only journalist of the show, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, May the 8th, 66 degrees. I'll tell you how hot is good. It is going to get in the forecast coming up. But we are sponsored this morning by AMC, Anderson Mechanical Corporation. So in the news this morning in Philadelphia, Mayor Sherelle Parker defending her plan at a neighborhood meeting last night, saying that she is really building the plane and flying it at the same time. Kind of a play on that old saying of, you know, building the parachute on the way down after you jump out of the plane.
Yeah.
Well, for her, she's building the plane while flying it.
Some of us are just waiting for her to land the plane, but, you know.
So this, in part, she's reacting to what's going on in Kensington. So in the news media, pretty much this is called a large homeless encampment that we've been talking about in Kensington. Many would say it's an open drug scene in the Kensington section of Philadelphia. So they are moving in. They are taking this down, and that is beginning. So it's controversial. It's making national headlines. But Mayor Parker says this is a necessary part to crack down on Kensington and give these individuals an opportunity for drug rehab. So they say it's humanitarian. They're giving everybody an opportunity to move them to a place where they can get the help they need, but that this is no longer acceptable in Philadelphia anywhere. A lot of other experts are saying, hey, they're just going to move someplace else for those who don't get the help. So we're watching this very carefully. The Inquirer continues to say that aggressive policing is now intensified.
Good. That's what we need to have, aggressive policing. You know, we've said this in the past when they've had these photo ops with our politicians where they go to Los Angeles or San Francisco or Xi comes, where they do the southern Texas border visit. They can clean up all of these bad areas and sanitize them in a matter of days, if not hours. The fact that we just don't want to clean Kensington up is a total sin.
Yeah. And I think Sherelle Parker, the relatively new mayor, she's been now 6 months, so she's agreeing with Nick Cale.
I think most common sense people would agree with that.
So we're watching this carefully, though, and perhaps the storms moving in today, we could have some severe storms moving in. Even the rain starts in about an hour or so. Will the rain help things? So we'll watch all of this very carefully for you. In other news, let's talk about just a tragic story being reported by the district attorney there in Chester County. Two people charged after an emaciated and badly injured 12-year-old little girl has now died following months of abuse. This is according to the Chester County district attorney. So Melinda Hoagland weighed just 50 pounds. When she died, according to investigators, she suffered, they say, from at least a half dozen broken bones, bruises, and organ failure. The girl, they say, was subjected to evil and torment that no child should ever have to endure, that from Chester County authorities. Her biological father, who's identified as 52-year-old Rendell Hoagland, and her stepmother, 45-year-old Cindy Warren, both of West Callan Township, are now charged with attempted murder. I will point out to you that pending autopsy results, these two individuals could be charged with first-degree murder. They're simply waiting for the autopsy.
Give them the same treatment, the same punishment that they gave that poor girl.
It's just a horrifying story.
Yep.
They initially told authorities the little girl she ran into a tree while riding her bicycle. However, police say even if that were true, would in no way explain the extent of her injuries and the fact that she weighed, at 12 years old, 50 pounds.
Ugh.
My dog weighs more than 50 pounds.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You think about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So she was previously part of Coatesville Area School District at North Brandywine Middle School, according to officials there. However, there was a point when somebody reported something was wrong here and the parents pulled her out of school. And then, so the, under investigation as well, where was the follow-up with that? So they pulled her out of school in late November. She was shifted to an online cyber school in December. And there was no real follow-up, apparently, to follow up on her, to check on her, that sort of thing. So we have that one. We're following very carefully. Will those charges be upgraded? So the anti-Israel protest on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania is stretching now into a 14th day. We're officially at 2 weeks. A small number of counter-protesters seen at what they call the Gaza Solidarity Encampment on Penn's campus, holding up signs of Israelis taken hostage by Hamas. And it's something they say that the anti-Israeli demonstrators have not mentioned or shown in nearly 2 weeks since the protest began. So we have these other counter-protesters. They're supporting the Jewish students. They're supporting those hostages. Among them, think about it, that Hamas took October 7th, five Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we talked a lot yesterday about the fact that we see movement as far as the city of Rafah, the IDF, and all of that going on internationally being watched. But for his part, Interim President J. Larry Jamison repeatedly and again calling on these organizers to disband this encampment, saying it must end. It's a violation. They're also saying they will not allow this to disrupt the graduation May 20th.
Oh, so they won't pull a Columbia and cancel the main,
yes,
the main commencement ceremony.
That's what they're saying.
You know, I was also thinking about this, and I don't know what date it is for Penn or any of these schools, but I know we're getting close where the spring semester comes to a close. I wonder if some of these cowardly administrators are just looking at the calendar saying, all right, well, school ends on May 15th. We only have 7 days left to go. Maybe they'll go home when the semester ends. That's the passive-aggressive type mentality that I think some of these people might be exuding behind closed doors.
Yeah, I know we have another story today with Vice President Kamala Harris is in the area today. It'll be Montgomery County talking about abortion. But you wonder for this part, when Biden or Harris will come into Philadelphia. Every time lately they go anywhere, they're meted by these protesters. To your point,
yeah.
I mean, Greg said when this whole thing started, he didn't think that this was going away this summer.
No. And when Kamala does get greeted and she gets asked about it, there was a clip, I think it was over the weekend, she comes out of a restaurant with her security detail and they're hitting her up with questions about the protests. And she goes, oh, look, I got shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits.
I got a bag of shrimp and grits.
Yeah. By the way, the Biden administration back in Philadelphia again, or the Philly suburbs, just saying.
Where in Montgomery County did you say, Dawn, specifically?
I did not say.
Okay.
It's a Montgomery County community event. We'll watch the truck because she's, you know, coming in through Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So that will happen today about, I think she's scheduled to speak 1 p.m.
Okay.
And then leave by 5.
Great shrimp and grits in Bluebell, by the way.
Exactly.
Yum. So we've got that going on. I know we'll talk a lot about major breaking developments in different cases for one Donald J. Trump and some real court victories and delays. We'll talk about that one. And, of course, the woman known as the porn star director, former stripper, former pole dancer, and now a witness for the prosecution, Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford. We will talk all about that today. So headlining it.
So her real name's not Stormy?
No.
Oh, all right. Can I ask one question? Did she need to be on the stand, or no, was it just there? Like, was she just there to
be a part
talk
of the
about
circus?
All the sexual details and make everybody all uncomfortable?
Yeah.
This is a bookkeeping case. It's about bookkeeping. What went in what column? And that's why Trump, the one day when he came out of court, said he thought it was over because they had two different people saying that they put this, they didn't know how to classify it. They put it in the wrong column. That really was the testimony you had from two different people. And so that's why they thought the case was over. But no, Greg, every expert says
yeah
that this was a far overreaching situation. The fact that the judge clearly became perturbed because her testimony became shocking.
Even the judge was telling her to, to shut it down.
I have both two lawyers from different perspectives that I trust, Jonathan Turley and Ellie Honing.
Yep.
Both of them, one on CNN, one on Fox, both of them basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We'll get to that at 7:45.
Yeah, so there's a lot here. Will it backfire? All of those questions. We've got that all going on. Nick Cale mentioned the new name for the Boy Scouts of America, that one making headlines. There's so much to talk about, but 66 degrees, mostly cloudy. Thunderstorms are moving in, and the rain begins about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. We could see stormy weather today in Philadelphia, pun intended. But on a serious note, they won't be in Manhattan in court today. That resumes tomorrow, and Stormy Daniels, Stephanie Clifford, is expected to return to the stand. I should have said this tomorrow. So no court action today. The high today for us, seriously, on the forecast side, scattered T-storms this morning, then partly cloudy during the afternoon hours, quite warm, well above, nearly 20 degrees above the average high, 88 degrees today, and windy, 20-mile-an-hour winds. So like I say, the rain should be over by 1 p.m. today, and then when Kamala leaves by 5 of Montgomery County, we won't see the rain anymore. And then and then for your tomorrow, for Thursday, 69 degrees, quite a degree change. That's the high tomorrow. So a 20-degree drop and more showers on the way. Friday, 55 degrees with a rainy, stormy day ahead for Friday. And then we move into the weekend. Saturday definitely looks like the better day. High of 65 degrees, partly sunny. Sunday, 60 degrees with clouds and rain showers. So Saturday, the better day. But kind of a roller coaster as we're 88 today, 69 tomorrow. And we have AMC as our sponsor. Take advantage. Anderson Mechanical Corporation's spring tune-up, Anderson Mechanical Corporation. They have a special for you. Listeners, if you're listening right now, you're going to get a 15% off your spring maintenance and 1 year of free maintenance with a replacement system. Call today, amcontheweb.com, AMC on the web. This is Cale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Cale and Company.
And it's brought to you by Malvern Retreat House. The Big Take, the big guy in anti-Semitism. For over half a year now, the President of the United States has allowed the far-left progressive faction of his party to not only dictate the tone, but also the narrative and the message of how Democrats will address the war between Israel and Hamas. And for over 7 months, the best case description of how Joe Biden has handled this foreign policy disaster could be described as straddling the fence. That's the best case explanation. The reality is Joe Biden and this administration have failed Israel and empowered a government or a terrorist group, so much so that college students have taken over campuses across the nation. Protests have occurred in almost every big blue city, and there's no sign of anti-Semitism slowing down anytime soon. So excuse me if I'm not buying what Biden is selling yesterday as the commander-in-chief delivered a speech honoring the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust. Biden has officially jumped into the heated American debate that includes Jewish safety and security, Zionism, free speech, and support for Israel in a nation that has routinely protected the interests of Israel. In my opinion, it shouldn't be a heated American debate. It's pretty simple. One is good, the other is evil. One merely wants to exist, survive, and thrive. The other wants to eradicate an entire population along with the death and destruction of America and Western values. It doesn't seem like there's much up for debate. But then again, I'm logical and I'm a common sense person. American millennials and Gen Z supporters of Palestine are largely misguided, confused products of a lockdown and too much time on social media searching for an identity and a purpose in life. Biden addressed a bipartisan audience at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's annual commemoration, where he warned of the risk that the truth about the systematic killing of Jews during World War II would be lost. Geez, Joe, you think? It only took you 7 months to finally address the nation. But in my opinion, this was by design. Biden never misses a photo op. It's all about the optics. He has pandered to squad Dems. He has shown his support for Gaza and why he has done so. Well, it's, I think, relatively simple. Number one, the Arab American community in Michigan is massive, and the big guy desperately needs to win the swing state of Michigan. And of course, legacy media and mainstream outlets are carrying Biden's water yet again. Headlines from yesterday's various news organizations that read as follows. ABC News: Biden condemns ferocious surge in anti-Semitism during Holocaust remembrance ceremony. CNN with the headline, quote, Biden says anti-Semitism has no place in America in somber speech. CBS News: Biden says and condemns despicable acts of anti-Semitism must end immediately. I could go on and on and on, but you get the picture. Let's hear from our fearless leader. Here's Joe Biden speaking yesterday about the hatred exhibited towards Jews. Listen and watch.
Jewish students blocked, harassed, attacked while walking to class. Anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitic posters, slogans, calling for the annihilation of Israel.
Is there any doubt if this hatred that has been spewed for the last 7 months was geared towards any other community that Joe would have spoke within 7 days? We're talking the African-American community, the Asian community, the Hispanic community, or any member of the LGBTQ plus community, that this speech would have been delivered almost immediately, not 7 months later. See, what Biden wants to have is, he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants to appease his big donors. He wants to have those big donors and their bankrolls, protests and riots allegedly funded by you know who. We mentioned the names yesterday, Soros, Pritzker, and Rockefeller. But then he wants to come out and defend Israel and the Jews. We know Joe loves his ice cream, but he shouldn't be able to get his cake and eat it as well. Here's more of Biden talking about defending Israel. Listen and watch this.
And my commitment to the safety of the Jewish people, the security of Israel, and its right to exist as an independent Jewish state is ironclad, even when we disagree.
Ironclad, eh? What about halting a shipment of ammo, right? We've heard that story and that report coming out. Halting a shipment of ammo to Israel so that they can defend themselves. What does the binder have to say about these allegations? Here's Karine Jean-Pierre offering up a big nothing burger. Listen and watch this.
There have been multiple reports that the Biden administration has slowed arms transfers to Israel, including of third rate attack munitions and potentially some other weaponry. Can you confirm that? And if not, why not?
So we don't comment on specific cases. What I can say, and we have been saying, and we will reiterate from here, is that our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad. I know my colleague from NSC was asked the same question a couple times from your colleagues, and we just don't have anything to say beyond what I just laid out.
Yeah, just got to stick to the script. And did you hear what she said? Ironclad. Joe and the binder both using ironclad. Clearly a new White House buzzword. But what about the hatred on campus? The binder says, well, we sent out a letter. Listen and watch this.
The Secretary of Education put out a letter, a dear colleague letter, that went out to universities talking about Title VI and giving examples of anti-Semitism, but also was very clear about the hate that we have been seeing more broadly, anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, anti-Muslim, anti-Palestinian. We have seen that across campuses, across the country, obviously, in communities.
Notice how she has to work in the both sides there, anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, yada, yada, yada. But don't worry, Miguel Cardona, he sent out a letter, you media peasant. Stand down, we've done our part. A letter. Wow. Maybe, just maybe, as sad as it may be to admit this, or dare to even ponder it, let me throw this out to the audience. Maybe the Biden administration knows what they are doing. As ridiculous as that sounds, I want you to think about this for a minute. Follow the logic and let's connect the dots. They need to win Michigan. How do they do it? Support the pro-Palestinian community in Dearborn, as well as nationwide, in an effort not to lose those votes. But also, history shows us that Jewish Americans largely vote Democrat. They have to believe, in my mind, that Jews, in large numbers, will not ditch the Dems in favor of Trump. And they might not even sit this election out. And then you have this, an Axios exclusive poll with data. A new poll hints that the war in Gaza and the protests might not hurt Biden's election prospects amongst young voters as much as previously thought. Amongst 1,250 college students that were just surveyed between May 3rd through May 6th, the conflict in the Middle East ranked 9th on the list of issues that are most important to them. Here are the findings. 40% said the top issue is health care reform. 38% said educational funding and access. 37% said economic fairness and opportunity. 36% said racial justice and civil rights. 35% said climate change. 32% gun control and safety. Only 21% immigration policies. 15% national security. And in ninth place, only 13% said the Middle East crisis. What does this mean? I think college kids live in an entirely different world, a completely different bubble from the rest of the adult population. And then they eventually gain experience as they age and realize what truly matters. But if that poll is correct, the failure to do more for Jews will not hurt the Biden administration in their reelection efforts. Crazy to say it, right? But it just might be true. 36% of college students, I'll reiterate again, 36% of college students care more about and most about racial justice. So you'd think they would be concerned about the injustice towards Jews, right? Wrong. And why don't they? In my opinion, just my opinion, they look at Jews just the way they do your average white person. Racial injustice for the far left only applies to those who look like something other than a straight white cis male. I think you can take that assessment to the bank because Jews look white. So it's more acceptable and tolerated for them to be on the wrong end of a phobia or a hate crime, which makes college kids probably the dumbest, most hypocritical segment of the population going today. But in the game of calculus, the Biden administration might avoid an election disaster all because they've latched on to the uninformed youth of today. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by the Malvern Retreat House. Visit Malvern Retreat House, the nation's largest Catholic retreat house located in Chester County. Malvern Retreat House hosts men's and women's retreats, couples retreats, spiritual direction, recovery retreats, and more. Retreat from the noise and hear God's voice at malvernretreat.com. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT to be a part of the Kale and Company comment community. Back after this on a Wednesday morning, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
New York Knicks -4.5 tonight, and Oklahoma City Thunder -4.5 tomorrow night. The NBA playoffs have tipped off. Those are my picks, by the way. But it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 you use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to get in on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. What a better way to watch great NBA games when you have no skin in the game because the Sixers aren't in it. You can put a little money on it. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210WPHT, and he's the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over. President of PA. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company live on a Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg.
You may find yourself.
Cut Sheet coming up 7:45. Tony Bruno live from Florida at 8:30. Still ahead this morning, Google censors and shuts down a MAGA ad attacking Joe Biden. We will get to that. Bernie Sanders wants to keep on going for another six more years. That story on the way. Also, a very interesting story about a student in North Carolina that we will get to this morning. And when Bruno joins us, a bunch of great stories, including Jason Whitlock's commentary on the Tom Brady roast and how we need to get away from political correctness. We'll get to that. Also, if you guys recall that story of that reporter that threw up the heart symbol gesture to Caitlin Clark, he's officially been suspended. We're going to get to that story. And also, deranged former wide receiver in the NFL, Antonio Brown, saying he's a Trump guy and he's not going to vote for Biden because Biden pooped his pants. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later. By the way, Antonio Brown probably going through CTE right now.
Yeah.
So take his endorsements and his political observations with a major grain of salt. I don't think he's all there anymore from all the headshots, but that's his problem. So he made a lot of money. Yeah, it's risk-reward. What are you going to do? That's football. Let me get to this Trump stuff. I found yesterday to just be a dog and pony show, a circus. If I was on Trump's legal team, the two words that would have been coming out of my mouth every 5 seconds when Stormy Daniels was speaking would be objection or relevance, Your Honor. And I think a lot of people feel that way, that there was just not anything relevant and of substance to the actual criminal proceeding and what the allegations and the accusations and the crimes and the charges are against Donald Trump. The judge yesterday telling Stormy Daniels several times, slow down. We don't also need the level of detail that you are getting into, what floor of the hotel you were on, what was in Donald Trump's toiletry bag. According to reporters that were in the courtroom, they described her as bubbly and light. And according to reports, Trump, according to Stormy Daniels' testimony, Trump asked her things about residuals of the porn industry, what the unions are like, STD testing, and many other things. But apparently, according to a few people that were in there, including Julie Curry, she said that according to what she observed, many times Stormy Daniels was kind of giving like these rehearsed jokes on the stand, and a lot of them didn't seem to land with the jury. And I think a lot of people now believe, including CNN's Cassie Hunt, that Daniels' tone could have been observed as people saying basically she's losing points with the jury, calling into question her credibility. She's changed her story multiple times. She violated an NDA, and she's an adult film star. I don't know what the credibility on a witness stand of an adult film star is in any capacity, to be completely honest. And of course, we know we have guys like Michael Cohen who are known perjurers. But I want to play this clip, and then, Dawn, I want to get your thoughts on as to what played out yesterday in real time with her testimony. This is Shira Shindlin, a former U.S. District Court judge, and she said this on CNN yesterday about how Stormy Daniels basically missed the mark. Listen and watch this clip.
The material that came in was not relevant to this criminal case at all. And I think it shows that she was trying to get Trump. I actually thought there was a motive there. She said she hates him. She said she'd like to see him in prison. I think she was purposely throwing out this stuff to make sure the jurors were prejudiced, particularly the women jurors, but probably half of the men, too, were really put off.
Dawn, we've talked a lot about this with the Alvin Bragg stuff. You know, he always drops felonies to misdemeanors. He tried to reactivate this. Many other prosecutors turned it down. We still don't know what the other crime or the alleged crime is. And then you roll out one of your key bombshell witnesses, and she doesn't really offer anything. I think if you thought this thing was a complete waste of tax dollars, resources, and time, I think yesterday was more validation that case one of four is a complete and epic waste for many people.
Yeah, and I think for me personally, yesterday, we should remember May 7th, because I think that will be a turning point as far as not just this case in New York, but what happened. I know we'll get to it, but just to headline it, what Judge Eileen Cannon did, just indefinitely putting off the Mar-a-Lago documents case because of mishandled the prosecution. I guess they're going to call him Sloppy Jack Smith, Sloppy Special Jack Smith, the special prosecutor. But apparently they admitted in court they mishandled those documents in the Mar-a-Lago case. So the fact that now we have an indefinite situation in Mar-a-Lago And many experts saying there's no way they can get that back on track to have that situation happening, you know, in before the November 5th. Then in the New York courtroom to have Stormy Daniels, who, first of all, you know, under cross-examination just crumpled.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, under cross-examination, Trump's attorney gets up there and gets Stormy to, yes, admit that she hates him. And then the weird thing is she wrote that whole book years ago. I mean, this happened allegedly 18 plus years ago. She wrote in the book, you know, all kinds of nasty, you know, salacious things. But then to get up there and says, well, I kind of blacked out. I don't remember everything, mm-hmm. having relations with him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm cleaning it up.
Right.
Then to have the judge visibly upset, you know, and the defense is trying to multiple times, the defense keeps during the prosecution's questioning of her, the defense keeps objecting, this is irrelevant, and so on. And then in the very end, for the judge to then tell the jury, you didn't hear this. So then the back and forth between the judge blaming the defense team for not objecting enough, even though they did object multiple times. I mean, this and think about the appeals court this will go to, the Ninth Circuit Court. So we just had a lot of reaction from the Harvey Weinstein situation where that was overturned basically because they brought in witnesses, or not basically, they brought in witnesses to testify in the Weinstein case in the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court,
mm-hmm.
that overthrew the Weinstein case because they ruled, oh, no, you can't bring in other witnesses irrelevant to the point that have nothing to do with this. So there could be a way paved here for now this to go to the very same appeals court that just ruled Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a huge case. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody thinks that guy is innocent of what happened. And apparently that was a very complicated case that, yes, he'll be retried, no doubt, and he's still in jail because of the L.A. case. But I just think that's relevant in what happened here yesterday. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, when you have a judge like Juan Merchan, who is no ally to Trump by any stretch, basically telling Stormy Daniels to shut it down and speed it up, I think you realize what's going on here. For what it's worth, the judge, though, did reject Trump's bid yesterday for a mistrial with the Stormy Daniels hush money case. Apparently, according to the testimony, Daniels testified, she told Trump at the time that he was, quote, arrogant. She recalled asking him about his wife, to which Trump allegedly said he doesn't sleep in the same room with Melania, which then Merchan told prosecutors that the degree of detail that we're going into here is just unnecessary. And then when Daniels came back to the stand, she was told to move it along more quickly. That is a quote from Judge Merchan.
I just don't think there's no reason for her to be on the stand.
No,
she's
it's
not,
all about salacious.
Yeah, she's not relevant.
There's no
to the
substance
case.
Right?
I mean, like, I know the case centers around her and alleged payment for her to her, but her testimony has no bearing on this case other than for the salacious details that may or may not have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, like, the whole thing to me, although, you know, I would love for it to be on TV because it's fascinating.
Oh, I'd watch it, absolutely.
It's a circus. It's a sideshow.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a sideshow.
There are far more cases that are more relevant and with more legal debate to be had discussed amongst the SCOTUS and things like that. But I wouldn't want to watch, like, classified documents televised on television, right? I would want to watch the Stormy Daniels case on TV for a variety of reasons, but it's like one of those car wrecks, right? Like, you're on the Schuylkill and you look over and you just can't take your eyes off of it. It's such an epic disaster. Like, that's the way I view this case, even though the rest of the cases are far more important. Like Dawn has been saying, this is a clerical bookkeeping nothing burger, right?
Yeah, but, yes. To me, I think, and you talked about, we talked about when this all started, the jury makeup. You have two attorneys on this jury.
Yep.
And so if you're in court there and you have a woman who is well documented in telling, you know, writing a book and profiting from this, now you have this Susan Nichols, who's the Trump attorney, who I think did an amazing job in the cross examination. But the fact that even the judge admonishes the witness multiple times, then admits in court there should have been guardrails, which it's like, yeah, you're the one,
yeah,
right, who has this. Then Trump's other attorney comes up and says, you know, wants a mistrial.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge says, no, not a mistrial. But I think even the judge knew he messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, and the fact that she said, for example, there was this point where Stephanie Clifford was basically trying to say things like, well, I don't remember how my clothes got off.
Yeah.
And changing her story from what she had said in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because now,
well, she was saying in the book, she said in the book she was coerced into it, right?
I don't think, I mean, she, no,
those,
I think
those
now
were the allegations. I think those were the allegations.
Not as much as, well, she said in the Anderson Cooper interview in CNN,
mm-hmm,
that this was 100% consensual. So when she was interviewed in that big interview by Anderson Cooper back, and this is years ago, obviously,
yeah,
she went on and on about the fact that, oh no, this was 100% consensual.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Cooper asked her the condom question as well.
Right.
She did not answer it. In court, she said there was no condom.
Mm-hmm.
It just was icky, yeah, and way too much. And
the whole thing makes you
want
to just take a shower, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Yeah. And then she goes into his toiletry bag, and she's describing what's in his nighttime bag. So Trump is just like the rest of us. He carries Old Spice, and he uses Pert Plus, by the way. I haven't heard a Pert Plus reference in probably 25 years. Pert Plus was like the shampoo of the 90s. I think it was a dandruff shampoo back in the day. But I digress. Let's get to the other story of the day with Trump yesterday, as Judge Eileen Cannon, who's certainly more Trump-friendly, after all, she is a Trump-appointed justice, yesterday indefinitely postponing Trump's classified documents case in Florida with Mar-a-Lago. The ruling makes it unlikely that the classified documents trial will end before the 2024 election. This was supposed to get started at the end of this month, originally scheduled for May 20th, but Cannon wrote in her filing yesterday that she is going to indefinitely delay this so she can resolve pretrial motions in this case. Cannon said that the finalization of a trial date at this juncture would be imprudent and inconsistent with the court's duty to fully and fairly consider the various pending pretrial motions before the court. So she doesn't want to rush through things, zip through stuff. And oh, by the way, this case was scheduled to start 12 days from now. It doesn't look like the Alvin Bragg case is going to end in the next 12 days, would be my guess right now. So obviously Donald Trump can't be in two places at once. So I think that makes a ton of sense. And oh, by the way, if you think about this now, let's look at all these cases. So Stormy Daniels, 18 years in the making, or at least 8 years in the making since Trump was in office and became a political figure. That kind of bombed out yesterday. The classified documents case, we have mishandling of documents. We have another delay. This thing will not end before November 5th. We've covered the Fannie Willis debacle in the Georgia election case. And of course, on January 6th, we've seen Jack Smith kind of get like two out of the four big charges chopped away. And that Fisher case is still pending. So I think if you just kind of sum everything up right now, is Trump in the clear? No, he's not. But every single case is either crumbling, starting to fall apart, showing cracks in it a little bit. If any of these prosecutors thought that they had a slam dunk, I don't think if you asked them off the record today in an interview, hey, how do you feel about your case? I think a lot of them, if not all of them, would say, not going the way we probably anticipated.
Yeah, and by the way, another headline is that Fannie Willis has refused to testify in the Georgia,
I saw that,
Senate probe on that one. But, you know, to your point, I think this, the Mar-a-Lago case, a lot of people said, oh, that's a legitimate case. And the fact that Special Counsel Jack Smith and those involved in this, the FBI, that there's a chain of custody issue, even in local crimes, I can tell you, in Philadelphia covering crime as a news reporter going back, I mean, any case where they have a chain of custody issue, where they have evidence, and then there's a break in that chain, those cases get thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, everybody, and that's why it's bizarre to me that even happened, which makes me suspicious. Because,
yeah,
generally speaking, they're saying law enforcement did that. Wow, I just, it something really stinks out of that whole thing, because in law enforcement, local, federal, state, at any level, you know, if you mess up on that evidence, that case is going out.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, they're trying to throw the law enforcement, the FBI, under the bus. I question that.
Yeah, I'm with
you. And that's why I think, whoa, who was, what's going on with these documents?
Right.
And who broke that chain of custody and why?
Mm-hmm.
I think that needs to be investigated separately. But Nick, you know, to your point, and looking at all this, all these cases crumbling, but I do think, you know, we'll find out as far as Thursday, back to the Stormy Daniels on the stand. We'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
As she continue, because that'll be the Trump team grilling her once again.
Yeah.
I also want to watch for her appearance, because there were so many people, you know, you might not realize it if you're watching television at night, because of course everybody shows her best pictures back when she was in her 20s,
yeah,
pole dancing.
The sketches were a little, yeah.
So the courtroom observers said how odd it was that most people testifying in a case like this, or any case, quite frankly, you would dress professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair, she came in basically like a hooded jacket,
yeah,
with this black hoodie.
Uh-huh.
Her hair was...
She Fettermaned it.
Yeah, well, Fetterman was on Fox News yesterday.
Know.
We were all texting each other. But Fetterman at least had a brand new black hoodie, and his head was all shiny and stuff like that. She was like...
She did have her glasses on, though.
She had her glasses on.
Let me pull up my bifocals.
Exactly.
And reread my testimony.
But, you know, for a woman, I would just say this, that, you know, she had her hair back and all these, like, clips that you usually use, like, to wash your face at night.
Uh-huh.
They were like these hair clips.
Yeah, she was probably up all night on
back.
The bender.
We don't know.
Allegedly.
No. So was that? There were court pundits saying maybe that was on purpose.
Oh.
For some reason, to not look too dolled up, so to speak.
To make her look less appealing to bury Trump further.
I don't know.
You slept with this person.
Wear a suit.
Yeah.
Wear a suit and look professional. But so that was that she looked sort of, you know, just unkempt or disheveled.
Yeah.
That was strange as well.
The complete opposite of Melania, by the way,
yeah,
who always seems to be very buttoned up, never seems to have an off day. Like, she's just kind of, I remember back in the day when we were in high school, I'm going to scrub it today. You know, you're going to just wear sweatpants and not do any of your cosmetics. Like, you've never seen Melania. You've never seen a hair out of place on her. And then Stormy Daniels, her big day of testimony, and she comes in looking like a vagabond.
Yeah, I think that the prosecution asking Stormy Daniels, you know, did Trump ever say he was concerned about his wife and he didn't wear a condom, and they're talking about the guy's wife. I think no matter who you are, who you want, who you like in this case, who you don't like, it's a cringy moment.
Yeah.
And they're purposely, the prosecution team, bringing up the guy's wife, all of it was so irrelevant. And then it came off like Stephanie Clifford, ooh, wanted to really get him, wanted to talk about his wife.
Yeah.
It was way over the top.
And basically the judge told Stormy Daniels,
go home to your mom!
855-839-1210. All right, coming up next, we'll get some news. Dawn's got it for hour number two. And then also, Google back in the Trump MAGA censorship business. The details on the other side. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Guys, gals, if you are in the market for a premier, top-of-the-line luxury vehicle, you've probably been circling Mercedes-Benz on your wish list or your bucket list for many years. Let me just tell you about the Mercedes-Benz C300 Coupe at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester. It's sleek. It is stylish, and it's packed with advanced technology on the inside. You get all the style, all the sex appeal on the outside and the inside, but the technology on the inside, unbelievable. Touchscreen interface and AI voice recognition, sure to impress. It will remember your voice and every command or any question you ask, boom, the Mercedes-Benz will answer you on the fly. So you can stay focused on the road and not distracted. The 2024 C300 features a turbocharged 2-liter 4-cylinder engine with 255 horsepower. Available today. Check it out at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, where I drove that specific vehicle just about 3 weeks ago, or in Wilmington, or how about this? A little trip to Atlantic City. Get yourself a Benz and then go play roulette. Shop online. Piazza. PremiumAutos.com. Tell them Nick sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.